Almighty God in heaven, we thank you for life. We thank you, dear God, for the freedom of worship we enjoy in this blessed country of the Philippines. We thank you, Father, we arrived without accident, incident, or tragedy. As we bow in your presence, Father, let us be conscious that we owe you so much, not simply so much, dear God, we owe you everything. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, forgive our sins, dear God, and with the forgiveness, fill our hearts with hatred for sin, and give us a love, an undying love for that which is right, called righteousness. Cleanse my heart, dear Father. I offer myself to you, dear God. Use me, Father, as an instrument. Use me. I offer no resistance. Speak through me. Put your words in my heart and in my mouth. Help me to speak boldly, but also with compassion. Bless not only those of us in this building, dear God, all those watching via the internet, Father, wherever they are, I ask you to bless them, Father. And you know, dear God, some of them listening are very, very special to me. Bless their lives, Father. Draw them to your bosom so closely that they feel your divine heart beating. Now, God, I commit this service into your care. Let all things be done to your glory and to your honor. I humble myself before you. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject for tonight, Nearer, My God, to Thee. What did I say? Nearer. How many of you know that hymn? Can I see your hand? It is a beautiful hymn. Nearer, My God, to Thee. That should be the desire of every child of God. With every day that passes, we are nearer and nearer to our God. We are more and more like Jesus Christ. And that is not a symbolic ambition. It is literal. We must strive to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Our subject, Nearer, My God, to Thee. What's our theme for the week? Quickly. Freedom from fear. What did we learn that the source of fear is? Sin. Now, sin is a little word, S-I-N. Give me the longer version of sin. Disobedience. What is the opposite of disobedience? Obedience. Give me the small version of obedience. Love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Fear entered this world because of sin or because of disobedience. The Bible says, perfect love casteth out what? All fear. Perfect love is perfect obedience. And so we have been stressing the antidote for fear. Obey God. Trust God. Do what God says as He says it, down to the microscopic detail. Do what God tells you. We are located next to a medical center somewhere over there. All right. Blessings upon you. It's the Adventist Medical Center, I believe, of Manila. What's the purpose of a medical center? To treat the sick. Why are people sick? Give me one word. Sin. Whether it is your sin or your ancestor's sin that passed on some defective gene, sickness is the result of sin. You might as well say amen. You don't die of cancer. You die because of sin. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. People don't die of heart attacks. They die because of sin. The Bible identifies one reason for death. What is that? Sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sickness, disease, they are expressions of death. War, plague, famine, expressions of death. They are the twitches of a dying world. We die because of sin. Now, we're next to this medical center, so people are sick. If sickness is the result of sin, what is health based on? Quickly. Obedience. Why did only one person answer me? Let me ask you again. This is a large class. What is the cause of sickness? Give me the long version of sin. Let me ask you again. What is the cause of sickness? I want the long version. What is the cause of sickness? Disobedience. Now, reverse that. What is the basis of health? obedience. Now, those are not my words. Go to Exodus 15. We read verse 26, our subject, nearer, my God, to thee. Exodus 15, listen to what God tells the Israelites, and God cannot lie. That's what the Bible says. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, Numbers 23:19, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he says he's a God of truth. If he's a God of truth, he doesn't lie. Do you have Deuteronomy 15, verse 26? When you found it, say amen. And said, if thou wilt what? Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Stop. Look at that phrase. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Give me one word for that. One word for that. Obey. Obedience, yes. If you will obey, next statement, and will do that which is right in his sight. Give me one word for that. Why are you taking so long? Answer me quickly even if you're wrong. Give me one word for do that which is right in his sight. One word. Obey. And will give ear to his commandments. One word. Obey. And keep all his statutes. One word. Obey. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now that's a frightening part of the verse. God can put sickness on you. So can the devil. God can take it off. So can the devil. That's why miracles are not the absolute proof that God is present. The only absolute proof that God is present is the Word. You're not listening to me. We live in a society where we love to see spectacular things. And so a preacher gets up and he waves his hand and everybody falls down and we jump and shout. We say, that's God. Or some preacher gets on television or some prophet. The television is overrun with prophets who made themselves prophets. And they do this, they do that, and people jump and shout. I was watching this prophet and he was on the phone and he said, is this heaven? He called God. Is this heaven? Oh, hi, heaven, how are you? I have a woman here who's not well. Literally, and the people are shouting and screaming. And he said, what? Okay, hold on, heaven. What's her name? And he came back to heaven, and the people are jumped. Absolute rubbish. My brothers and sisters, truth. The most spectacular gift God has given to us is truth. Are you following me? That's what the Bible says. If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. We do a lot of things that are right in the sight of our spouses, our children, our colleagues, our friends, not in the sight of God. And will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. God says, based on that obedience, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Go to Exodus 23. Let's read verse 25. Our subject, nearer, my God, to thee. Exodus 23, reading verse 25. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. When you found it, say amen. It's the same book. Read with me, and ye shall do what? Serve the Lord your God. Give me one word for serve the Lord your God. Obey. And he shall do what? Bless thy bread and thy water. Finish the verse. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. If you serve God, what does it mean to serve God? It means to obey him. You don't believe me? Go to Joshua 24 quickly. Joshua 24, let's read verse 25. Let's find out what serve the Lord means. Joshua chapter 24, let's read verse 25. Read with me when you found it. Joshua was a very powerful man of God, powerful man of God. He took over from Moses at God's choice. Do you have Joshua 24, verse 25? Now I want you to read for me. What does verse 25 say? Read nice and loud. No, verse 24. Verse 24. And the people said unto him, what did they say? The Lord our God will we serve. Stop. They said, the Lord our God will we serve. Now here is the definition of serve God. Finish the verse. And his voice will we obey. To serve is to obey. Now listen to Exodus 23:25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. Give me the Passai version. And ye shall obey the Lord your God. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Obedience is the basis of good health. But good health in the sight of God. Because Bible health fits you, does not only make you strong in this life, it prepares you for the life to come. Let me say that again. Bible health, God's idea of health, is a condition of spirit, soul, and body that prepares a person for the life to come. Someone who fails to enter God's kingdom did not enjoy perfect health. Health, from the perspective of the Bible, prepares us for a place in God's kingdom, because the physical and the spiritual are inseparable. Sin may be seen as a spiritual reality, but it came about as a physical behavior, as a result of a physical behavior, eating the fruit. Health, I say again, is based on obedience to God. Now, I made these remarks to lift up the importance of obedience. Do you know obedience is the basis of having your needs met? You have no food. You have nothing to wear. You have no place to live. The answer to that is obedience. You don't believe me? Let the Bible convince you. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Reading from verse 25 of Matthew 6, our subject, nearer my God to thee. Let me again tell my friends listening via the internet, you're on my mind, I'm thinking of you. God bless you as you connect with us, not simply via the internet, but via the internet of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 6, reading from verse 25. Read with me, what is it saying? Therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? And the body than raiment. Jesus says, don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll wear, where you live. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus says, look, I take care of the birds, I take care of the flowers, the grass, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. I take care of them, I will take care of you. But there is a condition that we have not seen. We need to read verse 24. Most people don't read verse 24. Now, make me happy, and I really want you to read with me. If you have my version, we don't want confusion in the presence of God. Are you ready? Read with me. No man can serve two masters. For either he will and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, I want you to read that verse again. This time, read it microscopically. Closely, listen. I will read it, you listen, but listen critically. No man can serve two masters. Now, name the only two masters in the universe, God and Satan. Now, Satan may come through an agent like your boss or your wife or your ex-husband or your teacher or your professor or the policeman. Are you following me? There are only two masters in the universe, God and Satan. Listen, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve both. But what does serve mean? Tell me quickly. Obey. Now, let's read that verse, the Passai version. No man can obey two masters. For either he will hate the one, come on, and love the other, stop. There are two key words. What are they? Hate, come on, and love. Think. Look at hate and love. What are those two things in relation to each other? Opposites. Which means there must be no mistaking the fact that you hate the devil and you love God. I'm talking to myself. I was hoping I wouldn't talk to myself tonight. Listen to the Bible. For either he will hate the one and love the other. There are opposites. So when you love God, there ought to be no doubt that you love God. Because your love for God also shows up in your detestation for Satan. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can obey two. Listen to Romans 6:16. It fits right with this verse. Romans 6:16. It's 27 minutes to 8. I'll release you on time. Romans 6. Let's read verse 16. Our subject is what? Nearer, my God, to thee. When you found Romans 6:16, please say amen. Amen. All right, are we ready? Read with me. What does that say? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto or of unto. Now, let's read that verse microscopically and keep Matthew 6:24 in mind. No man can serve two masters. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? The Bible is saying it is we who make the choice whom we will serve or whom we will obey. And we have just two, whether of sin unto death, that's when you obey the devil, of obedience unto righteousness when you obey God. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. He's saying essentially what Paul wrote in Romans 6:16. Now, listen to the words of Christ again. No man can serve two masters. No man can obey two masters. For either he will, you know, some Christians, they obey God on the weekends for 2 hours in church. And they obey the devil for the rest of the week. Let me explain this to you. If 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day, you're on social media. 6 hours a day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even on Sabbath, when no one is looking. What can 2 hours in church do to reverse that? Nothing. If your children spend all week on video games, do you think a 45-minute boring sermon can change that? If they serve the social media God during the week, they cannot serve the God of heaven and earth on Sabbath. They can go through physical motions, but they cannot serve God for 2 hours having served the devil all week. Makes no sense. No man can serve two masters. No man can obey two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. My friends, ye cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot obey God and the devil at the same time. Every time we sin, in that act we have let go of God. So we have the foundation for food, shelter, clothing. Serve one God. Who is that? The God who made the birds, the God who made the flowers, the God who made the grass. He'll provide, but notice, his provision is not just for today. His provision equips you to have a part in his kingdom when he comes. Now, the devil can provide, but his provisions only end in this life. Let me condense all that I have said into one simple sentence. The foundation of a blessed life, finish it for me, is obedience. Now, we looked at how to be healthy. What's the answer? How to have your needs met. What's the answer? But what's our subject? Nearer, my God, to thee. How do we get closer to God? Are you with me? Well, you're way ahead of me. That's okay. And you're right. But let the Bible confirm what you just said. Let us go. Well, read John 3:16. When I say read, I mean recite. John 3:16. Everybody looking up. No one looking at the Bible. Please, don't do that to me. Look up. John 3:16. That side. Say it. This row. Come on, I can't hear you. That side. Way over against the wall. Pray for them. Go on. Come on, come on, come on. For God so loved the world. Come on, that He gave His only begotten Son. Up against the wall over here. Ah, yes. Let's say it as a family. For God so loved the world, come on, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Question for you, does God love the whole world? Now, listen carefully, at 20 minutes to 8, is God closer to some people than He is to others? Okay. I'll give you a second chance to redeem yourselves. Listen to my question. Is God closer to some people than He is to others? Yes. Yes. We can see that not only with people, we can see that with non-living objects. Listen to the fourth commandment. Remember, say it with me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Now slowly, but the seventh day, come on, is this, Does the Bible say that about Thursday? About Tuesday? About Sunday? No. God has a relationship with the seventh day He does not have with the other six. Why do you look so shocked? When Christ went on certain sensitive missions, His disciples went with Him, all 12. But when the mission was really sensitive, whom did He take? Come on, come on, whom did He take? He left the other nine. Because Peter, James, and John were closer to Christ, but of Peter, James, and John, who was closest? John. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read verse 10. Read an interesting verse. My question is, are some people, is God closer to some than He is to others? The answer is yes. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. In the New Testament somewhere. Help someone who may be next to you struggling to find 1 Timothy. We are in a house of God. We should help one another. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. When you found it, say amen. All right, read with me. What does that say? For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Stop. Read the rest microscopically and see what I mean. Go on. Because we trust, come on, in the living God. Stop. Does the living God love everybody? Yes or no? Yes. Keep reading. Who is the Savior, come on, of all men? Stop. Finish the verse now. Especially of those that believe. Those that believe are closer to God than those who don't. Even though God loves Everybody. Go to Galatians 6. Because we ought to have the same attitude towards people. Now you're saying, oh no, is the pastor preaching discrimination? No. I am preaching biblical behavior. Galatians 6. Do you have Galatians 6? Just a few books to the left of 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy. When you found it, say amen. Now read verse 10 and read it carefully. Galatians 6 verse 10. Read with me. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good, come on, unto, stop. Wherever you can help, should you help? Yes or no? Yes. But if you're confronted with a believer who needs help and an unbeliever, here's what the Bible says. Finish the verse now. Especially unto them who have the household of faith. The Bible says, if you're giving help, give help to church members first. Have two amens anymore? Three, four, five. Okay. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith, the church must come first. Now, nearer my God to thee. We've established God loves the whole world. Let us go to John 14. Quickly. My second favorite book. If I say to you, John is my second favorite book, what should you ask me? Genesis. How did you know that, sister? All right, John 14. Let's read from verse 21. Do you have that? All right, read with me. Here we go. King James Version. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Stop. If I were to ask you, how many of you love Jesus? Every hand would go up. But listen to Jesus as he identifies who truly loves him, not just by what you say, but by the condition of the heart. He that hath my commandments. Now the whole world has the commandments. They know Moses got 10. The whole world knows that. In that sense, the whole world has the commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Give me one word for that. Come on. Obey. Keep reading. He it is that loveth me. So if a group of tourists landed in Manila Bay somewhere and they got off the cruise ship and they're going through Manila and they say, oh, we love the Philippines, but no one is wearing a barong, no one is trying to taste sticky rice, no one is trying to eat a durian, no one is eating they're not trying to say mabuhay or salamat po, nothing else, no one. But here's one man, he has a barong and he's eating, you know, what you eat, and he's trying to speak a little Tagalog. Now when they say we love the Philippines and he says it, whom do you believe? Him. Because he's given evidence of his love for the country. He's trying to identify. Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now keep reading. And he that loveth me, come on, shall be loved of my Father. Stop. What tense is shall? What tense is shall? Future. Wait a minute. But we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God already loves the world. So what does the Bible mean? Shall be loved of my Father. When you obey God, you enter into a deeper love relationship with God that you would never experience in a life of disobedience. It is obedience that draws us into a closer, more intimate love relationship with God. And so Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Now here comes Jesus, and I will. What does Jesus mean by I will love him? Didn't he already love the world? Yes. You see, God has a general love for the whole world, which is very genuine. It's general and genuine and deep. But when you obey God, we go to levels that we never before experienced. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. What's the condition for that? Give me one word. Obedience. How do I get nearer to God? Obey. Go to John, go to verse 23 of John 14, our subject, nearer my God to thee. Verse 23, read with me, what does it say? Jesus answered and said what? If a man love me, he will keep my word. Stop. He will keep my word. What does he mean by my word? My commandment. You see, in John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandment. In verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So we have John 14, 15, love, commandments. John 14, 21, love, commandments. John 14, 23, love and word. So what does word really mean? Commandment. That's why you need to compare verse and another verse. So Jesus answered and said, he that keepeth my word, my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. So while everyone on earth has a measure of the Spirit of God, it's the obedient one that has the personal indwelling presence of God. Jesus promises, when you obey me, my Father and I will come, we will live in you. Now, this does not only apply to God and us. This concept of a deeper love relationship applies to Christ and the Father. And you say to me, how? Let the Bible explain that. John 10. Go to John 10 quickly. 10 minutes to 8. John 10. We're coming to the conclusion, nearer my God to thee. John 10. Let's read from verse 16. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Pause. Let me pause. Be very careful how we talk about other churches. Are you with me? Be very careful how we talk about other churches. Jesus has people in every church. But he has a group. Are you following me? To whom he has entrusted his law. Because when Christ called, it was Christ who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Let me say that again. It was Christ. You look at me shocked. It was Christ who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. It was Christ who spoke to Abraham. The God of the Old Testament is Christ. Because from the time Adam sinned, the Father ceased all communication with the earth and turned it over to the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So understand clearly, the God of the Old Testament is Christ. If you want to learn about the Father, you read the Gospels. Because one of the missions of Christ was to show the world what? Who the Father is? I've lost you. When you read the Gospels, you're reading the life of Christ, you are really looking at a portrait of the Father. That was the mission of Christ, to show us what the Father is like. Now, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Leave where you are and come where God's law. Now, I was telling you, when Christ brought the Israelites out of Egypt, the only requirements he placed on them were the Ten Commandments. That's all he wanted. When they didn't do it, he gave them all the precepts and judgments and statutes. All he ever wanted was obedience to the Ten Commandments. That's all he wants now. And so he brought them out and arranged them into a church that was also a nation, and the Constitution was the law of God. It hasn't changed up to this day. Christ's church has as its constitution the Ten Commandments. Now, so Jesus said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Get them out of those folds. And they shall hear my voice. Here's the voice of Christ. They shall be one fold, one shepherd. Now, read verse 17 with me now. Nice and clear and microscopically. Go on. Start reading. Therefore, doth my Father love me. Stop. Did the Father love Christ before he came to this earth? Yes, the Bible says that. Well, what does it mean by therefore doth my Father love me? Here's the reason why the Father loves him. Finish the verse. Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Jesus is saying his decision to go through with that terrible sacrifice touched the Father so much that the Father's love for him, let me choose my words carefully, deepened. You know, the teachings of the Bible, the effect they have on us is too good to be true. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. His willingness to die for sinners touched the Father. And in some mysterious way, they came closer. And I have to say mysterious, because I cannot explain how the Father and the Son can come closer when they already won. But Ellen White writes, never was the Son of God more beloved by the Father, the heavenly family, and the unfallen worlds and the angels than when he volunteered to give his life for sinners. Nearer, my God, to thee. It works for Christ as it works for us. Give me one word, obedience. My brothers and sisters, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The foundation of good health is obedience to the Word of God. The basis for our provision is the Word of God. And the basis for a closer walk with God, finish my words, is obedience to the Word of God. What can I say to you other than, obey God. Obey God. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, just listen, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Who can finish the verse? But the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. Obey God. What does God ask you to do? Do it. And your life will be blessed. We are our worst enemies. Do we not understand how suicidal it is to disobey God? Obey God. And lose the fear of being unloved. God loves you. God loves you more than you will ever understand. Your husband cannot love you the way God does. Your wife can't love you. Your grandmother can't love you. No one can love you the way God loves. Why? Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. When was the last time someone died for you? God did. That's love. And as God shows his love by dying for you, we show our love by dying to self and living for God. Can you say amen? Now let me ask you with simple honesty and sincerity, which of you will say, Father, give me the strength. I desire to be nearer my God. Give me the willingness to obey you. Who will make that decision? Can I see your hand? Give me the willingness. Stand up with me. 5:08. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, thank you for your word. Your word is really easy to understand, dear Father, if we will read microscopically and with the willingness to obey. Because even understanding the Bible is based on obedience, because your word says in John 7:17, if any man will do his will or obey, he shall know the doctrine. And many of us do not understand, Father. To understand the scriptures, we must have a willing mind to obey what we learn. Now, dear God, look upon us with favor. Look upon us with mercy and compassion. We are our worst enemies. We will not obey you. Please, God, touch our hearts tonight. Convict us of the error of our ways and open our eyes to see more clearly the love you have for us and your desire to be even closer to us. And you've laid out the condition, obedience. And Christ stands ready to give us the power to obey. Nearer, my God, to thee is based on obedience. Good health is based on obedience. Our needs provided based on obedience. Father in heaven, give us a love for obedience, dear God. Soften our hard hearts. Break down the Jericho walls of stubbornness that surround our hearts, that the truth may go marching in, the truth of an obedient life. Bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. A special blessing on all our visitors who came. As we leave tonight, Father, let us meditate on what we've heard, and let us renew our commitment to obey you by the indwelling power of Jesus Christ. As we travel, take us safely, dear God. Give us sweet rest. Bring us back tomorrow to hear your word again. I pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.